Now we're talking with the head coach of the Crookston Pirate Boys golf team, Coach Steve Kofed. And Coach, you're able to get 27 holes in, and so a round and a half, and I guess that wasn't too bad.
No, it wasn't. I mean, yesterday was it was a battle. I mean, it was tough. It was cold. It was raining. The kids got soaked early. It was definitely probably the right call to shut us down after nine holes, and there was something around that nine holes number. And came back today, woke up, and I mean, the forecast was pretty nice. I mean, it wasn't raining for the most part when we got there. A little bit of mist, and it was definitely playable today. So some of the kids were bummed we didn't get 27 in, but you know, there was tee times, and I think Fergus had prom going on also. So getting 18 in was nice to be able to go out and play today, and for the most part, we played better.
Overall, you had Garrett Fisher led you, and I think he was about 12 over par, and had a pretty solid 27 holes.
He did. He had a really solid tournament. This is kind of where we were hoping Garrett was going to be at for the majority of the year. So hopefully this is a turning point. And when we go into Bemidji and Headwaters courses that he's played and does seem to like next week or the next couple of weeks, he'll continue with that. He was one, like I said, yesterday that was probably, I mean, he was cold. He wishes he had another layer or two, you know, at that point, like most kids were. But he seemed like he was kind of, you know, in it mentally on his nine holes. And I think he was five or six over par, putting him in the top, you know, third for sure, whatever place he was after the first round. Came off today and, you know, put together a really good stretch of whatever he played, eight or nine holes where he was like one under par, you know, made three birdies in the front nine, was very happy with his 78 according to, you know, how he played yesterday in the conditions, and was expecting to go ahead and get off on the nine holes that we're going to play in the afternoon, and was really hoping to try to get himself to be able to top five finish or something like that and see if he can, you know, chase those leaders down.
The Shackman brothers, they churned in the same score. I think, was it 139, I think they had. But those two have been pretty close all year. But I'm sure that was both of them are bummed. One of them didn't beat the other.
They usually are ones when they wrap up, they're kind of paying attention to see where they're at. And in the car, they're jarring back and forth. And we've kind of was giving Ashton a little bit of grief that Evan beat him the first two times, and then you know, Ashton ended up beating Evan over at King's Walk by a handful of strokes or whatever it was. So we were kind of laughing on that, and they ended up having a little chip off after they were done to try to figure out who was the actual winner while we were waiting for the other kids to come in. And you know, they both did it very similar, where they played a stretch of holes that were pretty good, made a couple birdies over the course of the 27, or at least a birdie for sure out of each of them, but then just had spots where, you know, you couldn't hit the ball because your hands were cold or wherever that one swing came from, or you thought you had a pretty good idea of what the putt was going to do, and then next thing you know, you three or four putted. So, you know, we didn't necessarily have, for really all of them besides Garrett, have their game across the board for all 27 holes, or, you know, you did one of the aspects of the game well for five or six and then lost it very quickly afterwards.
The question is, who won the chip off?
You know? I know Evan ended up winning the first hole, and then they were going best out of three, and then it kind of sounded like they kept going to best out of nine, and we were just kind of laughing how they were getting some extra practice in. So I'm not sure who they're claiming was the victor, and if you ask them, I'm sure both of them said they won.
They both won by getting some extra practice time in. So then you had Tate Hamry, and he was only a few strokes behind the Shockmans, and it seemed like he had some good holes, and there's a couple that really hurt him.
Yeah, I want to say he ended up with like 103 and an 87 also. So he might have been a stroke behind him, and, you know, very similar to those other guys. Like I said, he all of a sudden was hitting the ball well. I know in the nine holes that we played at the end, he kind of benched his driver because that was not helping him by any means. And he said, my five wood, I can hit almost as good or almost as far. So I'm like, well, then just hit that. Here you go. I'll go put that in the car or come with me or whatever. And it seemed like he was okay. And then just, like I said, got frustrated with a couple big ones. I know hole five, I think, got him both times he played it, where he was stuck on the right hand trees and couldn't quite punch his way back out, or it would catch a branch and come back down. So the par fives were a little bit difficult for him, but you know, all in all, he seemed like he had a decent, you know, mindset when we found him at whatever hole it was. You know, he put together a couple stretches where they were decent holes in a row, and you know, and again, especially yesterday when you're battling on that and you're, you know, disappointed with the 50 whatever, 3-5 whatever number we shot, you know, finishing up and saying, okay, with what we played yesterday, you shot 103, take away 8 or 10 strokes, because it was definitely that difficult yesterday, you know, and all of a sudden now you're right back to your season average when you couldn't feel your hands for the first half. So, you know, then they're like, oh, that, you know, you say it that way, it's not really that bad of a round for us.
And then David Duck Savage, not too bad of a round for him.
Yeah, like I said, he was kind of similar in the big picture of it, and I was hoping he was going to be able to get a little bit better. He was, I think, 104. At 51, I think he just kind of, ended up with a big number. I can't remember if it was the beginning of that nine holes or at the end of that nine holes. And I didn't see him a whole lot in that one because he kind of started off on a separate hole as everybody else was swinging around for that second nine. But, you know, he continues to battle and continues to keep posting scores that are, you know, right in that same ballpark. You know, he's a little bit behind those other four that we are three that we mentioned, but not that far away. And on the way home, I was kind of in that conversation. I'm just waiting for one of you guys to kind of say, I'm done trying to tie with everybody. Like, I'm not worried about where you are. Let me just go out and beat you by five or six strokes, and then you guys can try to catch me instead of, you know, where are we at? Okay, if I make I can make a bogey on this last hole. We got to, like, put it to the point where I'm seven or eight strokes ahead of you, and you can't catch me because I'm not going to back up. And that's kind of where I'm hoping we can see those other guys go. Brandon Tanquist kind of has done a little bit of that. You know, he's been three or four strokes better than the rest of them for the most part. And if we can get him to continue to get a little bit better and one of those other guys to kind of drag the other ones along, I think those, you know, the Evan and Ashton and Tate, those three can all drag along, and David's not that far behind. So if we can keep him right in there, it won't shock me when he, you know, ends up beating one of those other guys at some point this year.
Coach, thanks for talking with us.
Yeah, appreciate it.